of 2010 for the Lapine Tourism, City of Lapine Tourism Committee. And we'll begin with the roll call, starting with
Linda Johnston, Robin Marisol.
Mike Jensen.
And Art Euchre. And Mike Jensen is the newest member to the committee, and we'd like to officially welcome him on board. And it's nice to know that we have some potential replacements here. So, having done that, I'd like to go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Linda, would you read it?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
By the way, I should note that the flag is actually on the wrong side of the room.
Is it really?
It is.
Okay, thank you for noting that.
It should always be on the right side of the speaker.
Ah.
Yeah. We'll take that.
Well, Mark, you need to move.
No, I noticed that when I was at the council meeting a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah. Interesting. I'll mention that to the appropriate people.
Hello, Patty.
Hi.
One note that Lupita is not present. She probably will be here at 6. Left her voice, or left, called her and was not able to leave a message and did email her with the time change. So hopefully she'll get here before we adjourn. And again, thanks again, Mike, for putting your hat in the ring and getting on the committee. And I know that there are some other well-qualified candidates who will be coming on board as terms end. I think in June, Lupita's term ends.
Am I filling a term that was that someone left? Because I think when we were at the council meeting, that was the thought.
Yeah. But I know,
I'm not
really
sure.
We're going to have to address that and find out exactly what.
Right, and my term is the one that actually expires. This is my third year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think yours and.
It was mine and Linda Stevenson's and Gina Swearin's. Mm-hmm. And then you guys came on, and Lapita then came on. So we're always short.
Yeah, but we'll make it happen. One way or the other.
Whatever, I'm good for
Okay, item 5 on the agenda is to review the state statutes. So hopefully everybody has a copy of those.
Probably forgot my book.
Yeah, thanks.
You want to make some copies?
No, we're good.
And I have copies via email that you sent me, and I can send it to you if you don't have it. And we're just, this is directly on the Oregon State statutes, and I'll just read the highlighted ones that are on my list. Tourism promotion means any of the following activities: advertising, publicizing, or distributing information for the purpose of attracting and welcoming tourists. Seems somewhat intuitive. Let's see, conducting strategic planning and research necessary to stimulate future tourism development, operating tourism promotion agencies, and marketing special events and festivals designed to attract tourists. An incorporated nonprofit organization or governmental unit that is responsible for tourism promotion of a destination on a year-round basis. And that's a definition of a tourism promoting agency. There are other definitions. Tourism-related facilities means a conference center, convention center, or visitor information center, and means other improved real property that has a useful life of 10 or more years and has a substantial purpose of supporting tourism or accommodating tourist activities. That statute came into play specifically with the World Year. Not last year, but the year, was it last year?
I mean, it was the year before.
Mm-hmm. They had purchased new panels for around the rodeo arena and new bucking chutes, and wanted to know whether or not they would, money could be deferred with these TRT funds. That was determined that it could not because, number one, it wasn't real property. It was transient, movable, and even though it did have a useful life of more than 10 years, because the rodeo doesn't own that property and it wasn't permanently affixed to it, they didn't qualify. So that's where that came into effect. And so basically, this is our guideline for determining what does or does not qualify for funding.
There's also something like in marketing and everything, it has to be marketed to people, requires that the person travel 50 miles or more to get over here and stay, because basically what we're doing is trying to fill up the motels that pay the tax, that pay the tourism dollars.
So the two criteria are it has to reach people outside a 50-mile radius, and or they stay at least one night in a motel or a campsite that's within the city limits. So those are kind of the criteria. And obviously, there are a lot of gray areas, and we always rely on Jeremy, the city attorney, in that event to clarify that if we have a question. So any questions about that issue?
Not yet.
Okay, good. So we're going to move right into just the preliminary review, just to kind of give you a brief understanding of how this works. The first meeting of the year, we look at the... Let me go back a step. There was a deadline for application, which you're aware of. All applications for TR funds are submitted by that deadline and meet the criteria, then presented to our committee. And at our first meeting, we review those applications and then determine what obvious issues are not qualified for funding or are. And then we decide to invite the principals of those applicants to an interview process where we discuss ask our questions and try to get everything finalized so we know exactly where it is. Once we complete that process, then we set about drafting our formal proposal to the city council based on the statutes and based on the applicants, who gets what.
Right.
And then that goes to the council and they say yay or nay. And then that's basically our job is done until the next year.
Okay.
So, which is a good thing.
And we are evaluating proposals for the fiscal year beginning July 1st.
July 1st, 2010 through July to June 30th, 2011.
Okay.
And the funds are distributed on a quarterly basis, I believe, for the long-term applicants. If someone comes in on an emergency basis or, one-time quick hit, I think one of the things that we're going to address is that perhaps the best place for that is to go to the visitor center, because as we'll see, as you've all seen, we're trying to bundle a number of these functions into one application to make things easier for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, first document that I wanted to go over was a staff report, and I think everybody should have a copy of that, which simply indicated, did you see that on the email window?
No, I didn't.
Here's a copy. Essentially, this is just an accounting of TRT funds that were available for distribution in 08-09 that have been distributed in, thus far, this current fiscal year, and the assumption that based upon current funding, we're tracking just almost identical over the last 2 years, which, as those of you who have been on the committee before, I think Mike has heard, that really flew against the serious concerns of a lot of people. We thought we were going to be way down.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the case, and I actually think the economy has helped us in that people aren't going over us, they're coming and staying because it's closer. And so I think that's been a plus.
Or staying here rather than somewhere else because it might be more affordable.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So I think we've actually, in kind of an odd way, benefited from the downturn of the economy and the fuel increases. So.
Sorry, that's my phone vibrating.
So much for being quiet.
It's okay.
Your phone, didn't know it was that loud.
I better turn mine off. Thank you.
I think I turned mine off, did I?
So according to this, we're looking at 38,275.
Yeah, now that's the amount that's just that is distributable, which represents 75% of the total intake. City of Lapine, by statute, is allowed to keep 25% of the revenue in their general budget. The balance, the other
75%. What is that used for?
Whatever they want. They're, it's not restricted. They can't.
But that was last year. I mean, that was 2008, 2009.
Right. But if you 2008, 2009 was 2 years ago. The current year, or the current fiscal year, to date, they've distributed 36,000. But based on the revenue, we're on track to be about the same.
Same this year.
The total is about the total projection, if I remember correctly, is about $72,000 to $73,000. And so, based on these numbers, in the last 2 years, were probably the worst 2 years we, you know, there. I think, I'll be really honest with you, I anticipate 2010-11 to come up some.
Yeah.
I think it's going to increase because I think the fuel costs aren't astronomical. People have adjusted to $3 a gallon. It's no longer a big issue psychologically. I think the worst of the economy is behind us to some extent. And
we're seeing a huge increase. Not now, it's hurting. The vacations at the rentals at Sun River, mm-hmm. but starting in June,
good.
They have booked up better than they have for the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, nice to hear.
Yeah. So I say motion so much.
It's staying coming.
I would very much like to recommend, and I'd like your input, that when we do our projection for this next fiscal year, that I think a 10% overall increase is a conservative and reasonable expectation. Because, again, we're not going to be dealing with real dollar numbers. We're going to be dealing with percentages. Mm-hmm. And so X applicant is going to be, based on their request, is, you know, we project what we think the total income will be. Mm-hmm. Take that number and say, okay, of that number, you're requesting 80%. So even if that number is exceptionally high, they'll still only get 80% of what comes in.
Right.
So they're not. It's only a fair way that we can do this. On the other hand, if the income goes up, you know, they're a beneficiary of that as well. So it neither limits them or harms the other participants.
What is the standard kind of a healthy economy increase for just property value or inflation, things like that?
I honestly don't know. Property values have actually gone the other way. I don't know. Yeah. Have they stabilized?
No. They're still going down.
I know. I was talking to John Fettig a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he, you know, lives for the day when you have a normal 6% growth rate. And that if we kept that from 04 mm-hmm. up until now, mm-hmm. With the big spike, we would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think somewhere in the 6 to 10%.
I think it's reasonable because I don't think necessarily tourism is that tightly keyed to that inflation index, especially because we've gone through 2 years of economic downturn, and you can see vacation traveling is coming back, not just here but all over.
So it's a target.
And you know, again, you've got to pick a number.
Yeah.
And yep. So that was.
That's how you start budgeting.
So if 72,000 was the number previous years, then we're just going to add 7,200 to that, so we're at 79,200. I don't know that it's unreasonable just to round that up to $80,000 and use that as our target number.
One thing is, though, that we were supported, that those dollars were supported by construction projects, keeping that up, and what's available on the horizon for.
There's a lot of work going on 97, and with the all this economic stimulus money that came out of Washington in the last 6 to 8 months, I don't think that's going to go away. anytime soon.
Well, it just depends on whether it's going to be within driving distance of a pine distance.
Absolutely true.
You know, to draw them into Newberry Station or wherever. That's the one thing I would look at is if you subtract that out of, you know, keeping us at a stable amount.
And I don't, you know, I honestly don't know, what the status of occupancy in the local motels has been this year as opposed, you know, this
coming
this year. But my sense is that it's up because I know they had the basketball tournament, Hawks Hoops had that basketball tournament just before we went on vacation, and there wasn't a room in town available. And that was, it was up from the previous year. Mm-hmm. Having talked to them on that. So, I don't know if that's even a reasonable indicator species for what's going on.
Yeah, well, let me do some asking around. I can talk to Craig Peterson and Gene Bennington. Mm-hmm. They'll have an idea. And, you know, you might have an idea from your office as well, but Craig.
Yeah. And we do not have to set that number tonight. Right now, but that's one of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to rub the crystal ball and see if we can't come up with a number that's relatively realistic, to be fair to all. So that's how that works.
Well, and then we still have that set aside, or do we? They never came up with a resolution on whether we were going to increase that. We did have some in the set aside.
Yeah, I mean that's not a hard number. You know, we just have to see what the applicants are and see what we can do.
What is the set aside for, Linda?
They started saying that they were going to hold back some of the total for these people that were coming up at the last minute with a one-time thing. If all of a sudden the senior center decided they wanted to have a quilt bee and it was going to cost $200, but see, and we tried to say that it would be better if it was all in one place and they could go to the visitor center and
I think that's
that.
And my sense is that that's what we should propose.
I agree, and the visitor center can either make a request or just find a way to make it happen. Go find some sponsors, things like that.
And the reality is, at the last council meeting last year when we discussed the finalization of this project, of the recommendation last year, that my discussion with the city council was, you have the right to be, to take over tourism.
Right.
But do you really want to do that when there's another organization who's been doing it well for a long time? And they agreed. Mm-hmm. So, I think maybe we proceed in that direction. And, the city council can and will do exactly what they see is best fit. And in spite of what we may recommend. And so we'll just move forward in that vein and see what happens. As I see it, there are essentially, unless I miss something, it's entirely possible. There are three applicants.
Okay.
Park and Rec, High Lakes Car Club, and then the Tourism Center.
Well, we've done High Lakes and the Tourism Center, the Visitor Center before. I thought that, isn't Parks and Recs a special district now?
They are a tax-funded district, but that does not preclude them.
Oh, I thought it did. Okay.
No. Because they're a non-profit, by virtue of their status, they have the right to apply.
And they're looking for capital improvement.
They're looking for capital improvement funding. And so we might as well, since we're on that discussion, let's address their request first.
Okay.
And take a look at it and see.
And who's the center?
The Pine Parks and Rec.
Okay.
That's all right. I'll just put it on the back here.
I'll read you the narrative. If I can find it. Okay, the Pine Park and Rec District will be going through a planning and design process during the summer of 2010 to enhance the amenities at Roslyn Campground and Dane Use Area. as you recall, we granted funds for one
toilet. Yeah.
And I don't know that that has been constructed. I don't know what the status is. I don't know, honestly, if any funds were distributed to them on that.
But they were approved.
But that's not our concern.
Okay.
I just know that that's what we did. The goal of the project will be to design the appropriate expansion areas and redesign the day use areas for district residents. This may include picnic shelters, enhanced playground equipment, additional restroom facilities, and water access. Once this is completed, the district will begin the implementation of the plan during the off-season of 2010-2011 with possible expansion openings in summer of 2011. Use the TRT funds to construct part of the expansion areas that will serve the tourists. This will include additional tent sites and sites with utility hookups for RVs. Money will be used to provide electrical and water connections for the RV sites, obvious enhancement for folks to stay longer. It's classified as a construction project. It will operate a tourism facility as defined under the Oregon statute. So it clearly meets the overall guidelines. Mm-hmm. For TRT funding.
And how much do they want?
They are asking, the total project cost is $55,000. They are asking for
$5,000.
Okay.
How much are they asking for again?
$5,000. Seems extremely reasonable given the overall project cost.
And the rest of their funding would presumably come from
Their tax base.
So they want TRT funds for the electrical, which was the RV hookups, mm-hmm.
And
the water. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which are clearly for Justin did a great job putting this together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
there's no gray area about that.
Well,
exactly. It's permanent. Mm-hmm. It'll last 10 years.
Yep. It's real property. Right. It belongs to the district.
Specifically for tourists.
So I see no problem with this, moving through. Now, again, because we deal on a percentage basis, they may end up only getting $2,000 mm-hmm. because of the percentages and the numbers. But clearly, this is a qualified application.
That was easy.
Okay, very good. Well, let's take the second easy one, because then the other one there's a lot to chew on.
Okay.
Let's do the High Lakes Car Club.
Yep.
This one can be challenging at times. Basically, the purpose of the club is to promote and encourage fun of cruising.
Yep.
The June 26th High Lakes Car Club show and shine will include Raffles Engine, Ball, and Valve Cabaret.
Are they requesting funding for June 26th? Because that's before the fiscal year begins.
Right.
So, if that's the case, I don't think this is a qualified application.
Yeah, it's... I'm not sure that they clearly understand that this is for fiscal year beginning July 1. Now, whatever funds they receive this current fiscal year, granted. So, let's take a look at the request, and then what we'll do is we'll request, I will get a hold of Jim, or Randy, actually, and discuss with him the fact that, even if we granted this money, they're not going to get it until
September of 2011. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So the possible, they're looking for advertising.
Is that when we're going to have our Frontier Days and all that? Because, see, that would take you over into the 4th of July, right? I mean...
They're before the Frontier Days. Mm-hmm. The week before, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably...
Because they don't want to compete with the Frontier Days. That I know for sure.
Okay.
So, possible TRT plans to fight for. They've got advertising. They have $500. They have 100 goodie bags at $350. They have 100 dash plaques at $1. 100 t-shirts at $10.50 and 2 jackets at $150. Well, that's all fine and dandy. And every year we go through this. we need to know, and this is where we're going to have to have them in and discuss, you know, what are the total advertising costs? Because they're only, at most, we can give them 75% of that, because it has to be what goes beyond that 50 miles radius.
Yeah.
Are they giving away the goodie bags, or are they selling them? If they're selling them, they don't qualify. If they're giving them away, they do. Same with the t-shirts, the plaques.
And do they say Lapine, Oregon on them?
Yeah, and do they promote Lapine? So those are some questions that we have to... now, they did, on the bottom, they did put shirts and hats to sell, and insurance and those sort of things.
Is it appropriate to ask if they have a record of the people who have come to this event, so that you can just kind of see?
It's interesting to bring that up, because it's one of the discussions that we have had in the past 2 years, that we have asked that they bring documentation to substantiate that there's reasonable expectation that they're going to pull enough people to defray these costs.
And the city council wants follow-up, too.
Right. And so...
because, you know, I'm a new kid on the block, but this one looks a little gray.
There are a number, now they tried to sharpen it up a little bit, because the bottom section talks about items to sell. But still, there are some, you know, there are some things like porta potties. You know, you could make the argument that people who come from outside the area are using them, so part of that could be used for TRT funds. So, you know, it looks to me like, see, their total budget they're saying is $5,875. You know, but again, you have entry fees of $20 per car. So we need to know what their expected entry fee base is, because whatever they're going to bring in on entry fees has to be deducted from that bottom line.
Right.
Because we can't reimburse them for money they're receiving for entry fees.
Yeah.
So we need to set these guys up for, you know.
Now, who's in charge of that always comes to me?
Randy
Rose.
Yeah.
And
we've granted them funds before. For the same event?
The same event.
Yeah. It's just been after the 30th.
Each of the last 2 years. I think what they're asking, you know, they're saying that their event's on the 26th of June in 2010, and that it is. But what one of the things that we may need to make sure they understand when we bring them in for the interview is that they're going to have to spend their own money, and then in September they can reimburse those expenditures with whatever they're getting in their allocation from TRT.
And maybe keep in mind, too, about the date, because if they're going to do this in June of 2011, they should be applying for that now.
That's what this application should be for, quite frankly.
And I would agree. So that's a question we need to...
usually we're talking about a week's difference, because usually it's right after the 4th of July.
Right.
And I think they probably... it was just a scheduling thing, and they didn't probably even think about it.
Yeah, but I thought when I looked at the application, it was on there and set for the fiscal year.
So, July 1st. Now I know that they think we try to beat them up every year. I know they do.
Well, we're fair to everybody.
The reality is, we have a responsibility to the citizens of this community and the state who spend their money here to make sure it's done correctly.
And if I remember correctly from last year, we disallowed the t-shirts. Completely, we allowed the winners' jackets because they did say Lapine on them. And I think they allowed a percentage of the goodie bags because they said they had Lapine on them.
Would you be willing to contact Randy Rhodes?
Sure.
And let him know that we're going to schedule. And before we adjourn tonight, we'll pick a date and a time for this interview. But we're going to need to have some details, and we're going to need to know what's going to be imprinted on the t-shirts, what's going to be on the coats. This is nice, but we need to drill this thing down and get some details. And if there's some question about this is actually being asked.
Yeah, have them bring the manifest for people who are participating.
The entrance.
A postmortem on last year's function, how many entrants, how much entry fee they collected, and what they're projecting for the upcoming one.
I can see this being the same type of thing that we might get from the snowmobile club, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they've talked about wanting to bring, you know, a meeting in.
They've talked about bringing a meeting in where people would stay, however, for a conference or whatever. One of my concerns with the car club here is that, if I remember correctly, the times I've been there, everybody shows up in the morning, they stay with their cars all day, and then they leave and go home. I could be wrong, but I don't think we get any overnights out of that, or very, very few overnights.
So, item B on there, it simply says, all registered cars will get one free t-shirt or hat and one dash plaque. All these items will be placed in canvas goodie bags provided. All trophies, hats, shirts, plaques, jackets, and goodie bags will be illustrated with in the following. High Lakes Car Club Show and Shine 2010, Lapine, Oregon. It says Lapine on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we might not make a suggestion to them that they make this a two-day event at some point in time.
To hold people over.
Exactly.
Because they're not, as far as I can tell.
That makes it a lot stronger argument to me.
So, you know, a lot of our questions are answered. If in fact this is what the imprinting is going to be, then it would qualify. But we still have to drill some of this down tighter. And the date and which year they're requesting for is important. And again, we need the historical data from last year, so we have something to base a projection on.
Well, yeah, because if they have, let's say, 50 entrants or 100 entrants, and 75% of them are from Lapine, well, you know, those hats and coats and jackets really aren't going to go very far.
They're not
outside, except to maybe other car shows.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how much effectiveness, I mean, part of this is looking at how much bang you get for your buck out of tourism dollars, and this may not be.
And even if a t-shirt went to you, and you next month went to California with it, I question whether that still qualifies as TRT money, because you live within the 50-mile radius.
Right.
It didn't bring you in.
I think I'd be good with it kind of qualifying, but I guess I've got three areas I want to really know about. One is the date.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Another one is how many people actually come from outside of 50 miles, and the other one is the advertising. I want to know where they're advertising. Is it all local, or is it, you know, ads outside the area, those kind of things.
So when you contact them, let them know about details of entrance of the last year's participants. And
they were told last year that they needed to track that.
Any other questions on the highway?
No.
Well, now comes
a Dixieland.
I don't know where that came from. I mean, it was in the study, but I have not seen
application from them.
I don't see where an application from them.
I have the originals here. I'll just go ahead and shove it down there.
Yeah, I thought that was the
actual one. That's a packet.
Let's see if I have it. Maybe it's just, oops, we shouldn't have put that paper in here.
By the way, Patty, thank you for resending that as a PDF.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't know what it is about my email, but even the PDF came through as a WinDAT. And I just forwarded it on to my Gmail account, and it opened just fine as a PDF.
Wow.
No clue what's going on there, so I'm going to have you change my email address so that you don't have to do that again.
I'm trying as much as possible, because I'm hearing that from other people that they can't pick up the Word docs sometimes, including the newspaper. So I am starting to try and scan it from PDF and attach that along with the Word when possible.
I don't know what happened to mine.
I'm not sure what happened to mine either, but I thought that was
just
a
separate. Oh, it was attached for 2 days.
Oh.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
So, all right, in the original. So, it's fine. It's
so we're okay? Okay.
Did I take this out of here?
Yes.
I don't want to get everything totally screwed up.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, so Chamber of Commerce should be actually read Visitor Center / Visitor Center. Semantics are important when it comes to this relationship, as we've learned in the past. That's just.
Hi.
Oh,
hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Okay. I want to go ahead and just briefly skim through this grant request narrative that Dan submitted. Upon Chamber of Commerce, and again, I will ask Dan to adjust this and put Visitor Center, at least Visitor Center, has been the only year-round tourism promotion organization applying for over 22 years, Chamber publishes, et cetera. This is, you know, pretty much, we know that. The Visitor Center is requesting charity funding in support of the following projects for 2010-2011. Visitor Center, and he lists operating cost of $38,283. Tourism Guide publication, $4,875. Dedicated Visit Lapine Tourism website of $3,000. An 18-month tourism photo calendar of $1,750. And then combined tourism marketing campaign. Now that combined tourism marketing campaign is where we're bringing in Frontier Days, the rodeo, and Jade's Jazz Festival as the, and I'll just read this. Chamber will be, again, it's Tourism Center, or the Visitor Center. We use this funding to purchase advertising and appropriate tourism publications, as well as local and Willamette Valley radio and print media, leveraging as much exposure for the pine as possible through partnerships and other opportunities. Funds will be used to generate tourism throughout the year. A budget will be worked out in collaboration with the Lapine Rodeo, Lapine Frontier Days, Jade's Jazz Festival, Ponderosa Mountain Men's Journey Back in Time, a spring and fall event for the Lapine Rocks Walk Run Bike Event, Dixieland Party Band, and Friends. These organizations have requested the Lapine Visitor Center to help coordinate their marketing efforts in order to cover the market area exceeding the 50-mile radius by leveraging dollars with the hopeful result of drawing additional tourists from a further distance and for multiple days in Lapine on each visit. An additional $7,219 will be spent by these organizations individually to promote tourism to each of their unique events. Now that dollar figure is in excess of any TRT funds that they may be requesting.
So they're co-oping.
Yep, they're co-oping. The following projects are listed by priority through, though all are integral to promoting tourism in Lapine. Visitor Center, obviously, and we know the key role that that plays. Tourism Guide publication complies with Oregon statute. This will be a sought-after resource for all visitors. Combined Tourism Marketing Campaign, again, provides, you know,
it's so smart. Yes. I mean, it's just...
Well, we all know one of the biggest problems we have in the Pine is...
Excuse me.
We have so many organizations, and historically there's been so much duplication of effort, and duplication of effort is a waste of resources,
yes,
whether it be monetary or physical or however we want to categorize it. This is going begins a process of bringing it under one roof and providing us, and I know
well,
that
it gives them the discretion. Since they already know all the rules and regulations of the last minute people or anybody being able to facilitate the distribution of that versus them coming to us, waiting 3 or 4 months, and then filling up the 3-page contract to get $200.
Well, it makes life easier for the city council.
Absolutely.
Because it puts the burden of accounting for the correct expenditure on the Visitor Center.
Right.
And historically, they have produced excellent accounting of this process.
Yes.
And there's never been a question of the propriety against that. So I think it makes good sense from an organizational perspective.
I just really like the idea that they're all working together and collaborating their efforts for to get the best of the buck.
What it's doing, too, is it's providing a united front instead of a fractured front. And for people looking from the outside, looking in to Lapine, that is going to have more impact than we probably can imagine. It would be like, you know, looking at Sisters. I mean, look at all the different events that Sisters does. But people look at Sisters as an entity. It's not just the Quilt Festival. We're not just the rodeo. We're not just, it's Sisters. And they give a united front of promoting that. And
well, as we've seen in the past, there have been concerns, and legitimate concerns, voiced by councilmen and other people in town, that there's, you know, why does one organization get so much more than another organization, and which has fostered this sense of unhealthy competition. Mm-hmm. This, in my opinion, eliminates that argument completely.
Right.
It places it as a cooperative, concerted effort to promote the pie.
Right.
And I think that just is a heck of a great idea.
I'm really excited about that.
And I applaud Dan for the many hours of diplomacy it took him to bring these groups
together
to understand the value of this process. So, you know, and clearly the Tourism Guide publication, the Tourism Marketing Campaign, and the website are adjunct to that, although I think they are less of a critical, again, we have to look at the numbers. If we're going to chop some, that's probably where the chopping I think that's where it has to happen, because we certainly do not want to damage what we know is a proven successful
of the events.
The events, as well as, you know, the visitor center. So, you know,
but we do get a huge, how many millions of hits do we get on the web page and stuff that, you know, to have all the events listed on that web page, and I mean, would be a good asset, because that's what people do when they want to go to Sisters or Smith Rock or Terrebonne or anything.
So it is a big factor in this.
No.
So I don't think there's any question on the part of the Tourism Committee that we are in agreement to the value,
right,
the importance of what this is going to do. And so let's dig into the numbers. And Dan, again, put in a lot of effort to break these numbers out. Rather than go to the grant proposal, let's look at the visitor center estimated expenses for 2010-2011. And the total cost has cost to the chamber, but technically it's cost to the city, but at any rate, it's $38,283 to operate the visitor center, which, based on last year, is pretty much the same.
Right.
It has not inflated that number any.
No.
And they do a heck of a job with what they do. Yeah. So we have that number. And then let's look at the, let's see here. The next page is grant proposal, which would be for Frontier Days. $6,595 is the amount requested, and it looks like this here. So we have advertising, KFALS, Medford, other cities, clearly qualifies. Horizon Broadcasting Group, these are all radio issues. And if you look at posters, flyers, and Humor Eagle, they have broken that out in percentages, much lower, you know, so that obviously it doesn't exceed what would be qualified for the target market for that. Program guide publishing bulletin publishing, $2,300. So it's about 43% of that. And I think that is reasonable. I would think that the bulk of the bulletin's marketing occurs north as opposed to south.
That can be better
if it's right at 50 miles. I mean, the city limits this side of Redmond are right at 50 miles.
And the Eagle's mainly south, you know.
Right.
So south and east and west.
I mean, I've done enough work with Bulletin. You can target where your inserts are going to go.
So I think those numbers are reasonable.
What about the Frontier?
Frontier Advertiser on the top section that says full page ad, they're asking for 100%. That concerns me.
Yeah.
I think that's in excess of what, I don't think the Frontier.
I mean, it goes other places, but certainly 100% of it isn't outside of Lapine. The other issue is KSJJ Radio. That's a band radio station. I would question that 100% of that is PRC.
I can agree with the item. Oakley and Jane K. Falls.
Oh, yeah.
So the Horizon Broadcasting Group.
Is that out of the area?
I don't know.
I've got more of a concern about Horizon than JJ, because here's the deal. KSJJ has the strongest signal and the best ratings from...
Oh, okay.
Pretty much from Madras to Chimalt. I mean, they cover that far. They're the only main radio station in Bend that we can get a signal down here. Horizon doesn't reach that far. So if I'm going to make an advice to somebody, and I do this for a living, as to who to buy... Some of it depends on concept of radio station, but also another part of it depends on ratings and reach. And I buy, quite frankly, I buy a whole lot more KSJJ than I do Horizon.
Okay.
Yeah. And I like the guys at Horizon.
Well, I think all three of those have room for that we need to discuss. And these dollar amounts came directly from the Frontier days, and then Dan incorporated me into
I'm wondering, have they tried to do any advertising in the kind of the Prineville, Madras area? I mean, every time I've been to the Crooked River Roundup, that thing is just packed. I mean, there's people all over the place. I mean, we'll take our RV over there and camp for the weekend to go to that thing.
Well, I would recommend that we invite Ann Gaywith to come in and discuss this, and you can ask her that very question. It may be something that they haven't, thought
about. I don't want to, get into a micromanaging situation, but I just...
No, but we have to ask.
Well, it
has to reach 50 miles or further out, or it's not... Same with posters and flyers.
And then if it does reach beyond that, then we have to somehow...
Track it.
Now, what's our crystal ball is that how much of that works out.
What I will tell you, though, is that Horizon Broadcasting owns a station that broadcasts only in Prineville. I mean, it is the top-rated radio station in Prineville. It's a country station.
Yep.
It's old-time country.
It's on the old highway.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we certainly need to...
That may be where that's going.
Yeah, so these are questions. Clearly, those are the areas that I see. Well, again, they're only asking, for less than 50% of the bulletins.
You think it goes out because it goes up to Madras and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, plus, you've got people that are maybe vacationing in Bend that are picking up the bulletin, or they're vacationing at Eagle Crest or something like that.
That could go in the racks instead of home delivery.
Yeah.
And the reality is, when you hit the Redmond city limit, south Redmond city limits, you're 50 miles from Lapine. And so all of Redmond, all of Madras, all of Prime,
and the bulletin goes
all Terrebonne, they get the bulletin, are qualifying.
And Sisters, too. Sisters, too.
You could go to the Redmond spokesman, which is owned by the bulletin. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could have put it down. I don't know. But
My other concerns are the Miss Frontier Day scholarships, the wardrobe, and the flowers. Now we allowed the rodeo queen some of that last year because she was... outside of the area representing Lapine in various different rodeos, which definitely qualified for tourism, but where is Miss Frontier Days going to be representing Lapine other than in Lapine? And if that's the case, then it doesn't qualify.
And Valid concern. Mm-hmm. Valid question. Yes?
For the program guide publishing, you listed $2,300 from Tier Day's program guide publishing. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how? What is that going to go to if it's paid for by advertisers? I'm curious. Because they're selling ads to go in
They're asking for $1,000 to go to work.
To go on the bulletin publishing.
Excuse me, can I just get your name for the record?
Of Wendy Korn, okay. K-O-R-N.
Yeah, I would recommend that we request some detail on that, of how much of that total cost for the program guide is deferred by advertisers, because that's certainly not a question.
Well, I can just tell you, because I've been in contact with Gina about this. Mm-hmm. From an advertiser's perspective, mm-hmm. they're doing about 4,000, and you're in the business, you know how this works, Wendy. You know, 4,000 copies, that's a ballpark good price from the bulletin, but I don't, that they should be able to raise that much money in advertising expenses to cover that. So, I've got a question about that as well.
So again, we can word it.
Well, they're asking us to pay 43% of it, right? And they'll pay the rest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So is that because they don't expect to raise that much in advertising? Or,
The question needs to be asked.
Yeah.
You bet. Because anything that they receive advertising funding for, certainly we're not going to.
They can't
double dip.
Right.
Let's see. Would you mind asking?
Anne.
Again, we're going to set our schedule for the interviews, but would you mind asking Anne and let her know these are the questions we have when we find out what day we need her in here?
One of the things I don't see, and maybe too late for them. I mean, a part of our job is to help them, but this is all of this is bundled under Frontier Days, yet she doesn't have anything in here for costs of the mini events like the Dutch Oven Cook-Off and the Horseshoe Tournament and the Fun Run and the Softball Tournament and the Dixieland and Friends and whatever that is. So she may have shorted herself essentially in her cost projections on that.
Well, absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. And so, this we need to get her in here as soon as possible so we can ask her about these.
I don't know how things have been done in the past, but maybe what we can offer up for next year is a series of meetings as a precursor to the application deadline for some coaching.
Well, we have them in for this interview, and that's what we do. When
they can't amend the request after this, can they?
And we will help them with that so that it complies or works for them within the confines of that. The application deadline is just so we don't get people coming in.
Sure.
Throughout the year.
Months with these long-term applications. Clearly we can work with that on that. The Pine Rodeo, obviously we're going to need to get Florence in here. I recommend Florence over Scott because Florence is the one who did this. And so she knows the numbers. And as usual, on the rodeo presents some challenges with regard to the queen and expenses. And so their estimated total cost of $40,000, and they're requesting about $4,800, so it's just in excess of 10%. And so go ahead and take a few minutes and look through and see anything that hits you right between the eyes.
Now, is all of this under the visitor center, or is this in addition to the money they're going to get?
These figures are included in the total request for the visitor center. But,
you know,
obviously, see, they have the Horizon Broadcasting Group in here for an additional. It would seem to me that there could be some combined.
Yeah, with Frontier Days.
Well, here's the deal, though. What concerns me is that, you know, we've gotten a bunch of these folks to come together to combine their application and work cooperatively, but they're not doing that with their media package.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got KRCO, which is at Horizon, you've got The Mountain, which is combined, you've got KSJJ, which is Bend Radio, KITC, which is Bend Radio, and then you've got some Eugene stations. I would think that if the idea is to get people 50 miles away, I'd probably go to the one. I'd probably do KRCO, but I'd also suggest that, you know, go to one radio group. There's three in the area, and really bundle your whole packages. Bundle it for the rodeo. Bundle it for the whole plan, and make them a sponsor of these things.
Well, it's all happening on the same dates, relatively, mm-hmm. And so
they should be bundling. It should be, well, look what's happening on
this weekend. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, RL Radius with Bend Radio is down here every year for the Truckers Parade,
mm-hmm.
volunteering his time. I mean, these guys would fall over themselves to get an exclusive on this deal, but when you go and pitch an exclusive, they better darn well pony up.
Well, I think clearly there's some opportunity here to combine some effort, reduce some overall costs for all the organizations,
and then they're going to spend $900 out of the area and another, you know, maybe twice that much within the area. I'd almost want to see it the other way around, wouldn't you?
Well, one of the things that really sticks out in my mind, besides what you're talking about, is on this rodeo, is the last two items, the spring jackpot and the fall payday advertising.
I don't know what that is.
Well, they do the spring jackpot payday in the spring, because they're only allowed to use the rodeo grounds.
Right, three times a year
because of the wetlands issue. Mm-hmm. So in the spring and in the fall, they have a payday out there, and I mean, they're only asking for $154. However, I would like to see some accounting. I'll bet you my dad's best milk cow, if they get one person for more than 50 miles.
Yeah, show me how that drives.
I think it's all local.
I honestly don't believe in people from outside.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah, not to pick at them.
I have another question here on the giveaway tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're 100%. It's going to. I have two questions about that. KITC, KSJJ, The Mountain, KRCO. Well, KRCO is the Prineville station, right?
Right.
But my thought process is again, that's how much of that is actually going outside of the 50 mile area, and the other thing is that. You know, do we look at that as true cost? Because their true cost on giving away tickets is zero.
Yeah, you're giving away spaces on a
that you're not full anyway.
Yeah. If I'm the guy coordinating their marketing campaign, this is not what I would recommend.
Well, and that's why, you know, that's one of the things I'm really pleased that you came on board the committee, because not only, I mean, it's one thing for us to say no, 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 yes, 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 but it's another thing for us to say no, no, no this way, but we think an idea that will give you a bigger bang for your buck, and even again, it will qualify you, and that's
I know the owners of all three radio groups. Right. I mean, they're all great guys. If you go to them and say, hey, have I got a deal for you, they'll get sparkles in their eyes and say, let's go to lunch and talk about it.
So I would recommend that before the car club and before the park and rec, that we get this group that's coordinating with the visitor center in here ASAP and spend some time working with these people to help them and to let them
understand. I think they're just one full working session.
I would agree.
It's probably a couple of hours to just roll up our sleeves and walk through this.
So we can get Ann and Florence and Dan.
Ann and Florence and Dan. And us. And I don't know that we need to do, I don't think it's, I think it would, we can get one of the, we need to get somebody in from the Ponderosa Mountain. I don't know anything about that. I don't know what they do. I don't know anything about their history or anything. They need to be in here. And then as far as James. And as far as James.
I think so, and Bernie is.
Yeah, Bernie's involved. And get, why can't I ever think of her name?
Sheila.
And I'm not sure that we need to worry too much about getting Sheila in here, because that's a.
And once again, the Ponderosa Mountain has a mate. It's a Memorial Day weekend for this year. So
we have. So there's that concern.
Kind of a disqualifying event again.
Sorry, I had another question about the Ponderosa Mountain. And where is this being held? Because it's a Forest Service permit fee. This is not being held in downtown Lapine. And does that still qualify
for an event with tourism dollars from Lapine?
Because if they're all out.
I think that's open for interpretation. Certainly from a council. I don't know that I mean, we have to really talk about where do you draw the line.
Right.
Because, you know, do we want to pull people in who might stay in Lapine and go see something at Mount Bachelor or Elk Lake or Sun River or something like that? I mean, is there some event that might get them staying here?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a lot of campgrounds. I mean, there were a couple of times when we had these Sheila events where people, they were sold out at Roslyn Campground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had no campgrounds in the area.
Well, I think the Mountain Men does create some serious questions. Number one, where is this function?
Yeah,
where
do the people stay?
And if these guys stay out and they camp in the woods.
Right, they're not camping in the campground.
And they're not staying in the campground or at the motels.
And they're not eating at restaurants.
And they're not eating at restaurants. So my question is, if it's not within the city limits of the Pine,
and again,
and even if it was, it's still a good question whether it really draws.
I like to see a lot of creative ideas, but they're going back to the other group. This is Memorial Day weekend in 2 months.
Right. And they're not going to get any money for this 2 months.
Right.
So that's a serious question. James Jazz.
When's that?
August 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Oh, good.
So
this weekend in.
I thought that's the guys of Labor Day.
That's the Dixie Line.
Oh, okay.
James is the higher end, more blues and jazz, I guess, would be.
Okay. Benefit for the Lapine Community Kitchen.
I'm just trying to figure out what she's asking for. It doesn't.
I'm
not making a whole lot of sense out of this.
Defray the cost of advertising. Some of already has been ongoing nationwide over the internet. Hmm.
So we're going to have an interview with her too.
So the request is how much?
Yeah, I don't see how much she's asking for. So we need to get
a budget.
I think I would like to see Sheila. I'd like to get Sheila and Dan in here separate from Dan and in front of here and the rodeo. Because that's going to be the hard work session.
And that also might be an opportunity to really, bring them to the table of cross advertising and getting some synergy out of their advertising.
I would suspect that knowing Scott and knowing Ann,
they're probably doing that already to a certain degree.
And I was thinking just the opposite. I suspect they understand the value of having the funding coming through the visitor center. I'm not convinced that they still understand the value of combining their advertising.
I think they do a certain, degree, I know. But I thought
the history, weren't they all one, and then they had a big parting of the ways. Well, separated, and now they're back trying to get it back.
Well, I think there's an opportunity for this, with this whole concept, to really make
everybody work together.
Because these numbers could be based on empirical data. I mean, it could just be, here's what we did last year, so we plug this in, but...
And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what those numbers were.
I think that what we're going to, maybe some of the messages that we'd really like to see a little bit more work for
that. Well, we were real on that the last 2 years, that we weren't going to double dip, and we were going to all work together.
And they understand, if nothing else, they do understand where we're coming from, and it's not a nitpick, it's a law. And so, and I've been pretty adamant about that. So I guess at this point, I would, I think we're at a point where what we need to do is we need to schedule that initial work session with Dan, Ann, and Florence, and get that scheduled as quickly as possible. And I would ask, Mike, would you mind trying to put that, get those three parties together and find a date?
So we need Dan,
Ann Gaywith, and Florence Niece.
And Dan.
And yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I've been asked by the city, because we're getting more and more committees, and we have a number of them that are stacking up the third week of every month, if it'd be possible for you in the future to either use the first week or the fourth week. You know, we have the council meetings, but we're now having...
If that is, and we did it today, is because I was on vacation for 2 days.
Oh, sure. No, there's no problem with that.
It's my fault.
We don't care, do we?
So, no. Well, so today is the sixth
week. This week is actually a pretty busy week for me, too, but...
What's your calendar look like on the week of the 22nd to the 26th, Dan?
April or March?
No, March.
Next week.
The 4th is the city council. Other than that, we're pretty open.
I mean, why don't we just try to knock a few of these things out?
Let's just schedule a meeting for 5:30 on the 23rd. That's my recommendation. 5:30 on the 23rd. And that gives us a 7 days reporting deadline, correct?
If I put something in the paper, it'll come out on that Tuesday.
Right, and the agenda's going to be real basic, Patty. It's going to be an interview with Dan Barker, Visitor Center, Ann Gaywith from Frontier Days, and Florence Niece from the Rodeo, to formalize...
How do you spell Florence's last name?
N-E-I-S.
And then I will call Randy and fill him in about what we want, but we're not going to schedule him right now.
No, because...
So we have to get through this one.
Yeah, we got... Okay. These guys are ones...
Okay.
This is a big piece of the pie.
Okay. I'm not attentively scheduling anything else into April yet, or not?
Yes,
I think we should.
Yeah, we better.
What do you guys think? Do you want to try and go...
Keep going. Let's do it.
Every couple of weeks?
Yeah.
So let's look at the 6th.
This Wednesday and this Wednesday.
This is the 6th.
How about the 6th?
6th, what's over?
Okay. And then do another one.
What time?
5:30 is probably as good as anything.
Okay.
5:30. And that will be, I'll have to... We won't know what the agenda is going to be for that one until we get done with the meeting. Until we get done with the meeting.
Well, I mean, do we need to talk to... we don't need to do any real coaching with Justin, right?
No, but we still call him in and talk to him, don't we?
We'll still call him in, but we're good to go on that.
Okay.
The Car Lake, the High Lakes Car Club...
Why don't we bring them in on the 6th? Want to do that?
Yeah.
We had some concerns about that anyway.
Yeah.
We
need
to sort of the wirings.
My job is to ask Ann about their application, about just so to prepare her for the questions that we're going to have, correct? Okay.
23rd, we've got Dan and Florence.
Yeah. And I'll shoot down a note.
The 6th, we've got High Lakes.
Yeah, we better do another one after the 6th, because we'll have to...
Yeah, so what's the next day after the 6th, Patty, that's available?
Okay, well then, like I say, with the, we've got a...
How about the 20th?
Yeah, that works.
20th?
Okay.
True. And that will bring in Park and Rec.
Okay.
And the car club.
The
Park and Rec. And then
we'll follow up on the other.
And then follow up on the other edition.
Hang on, because we've got the Ponderosa Mountain Man that we probably ought to do on the 6th, right?
Yeah, High Lakes and Ponderosa Man, yeah. On the 6th.
And then I think that somebody probably needs to have a conversation with Sheila about Jade's Jazz, and then maybe bring Sheila in on the 20th. I mean, the thing with the Jazz Festival, I mean, if she can get some traction on that, that could become as big an event as the Frontier Days, or even way bigger.
I agree.
Yeah.
Whole thing is full of holes right now.
I know, and that's what I'm saying is if somebody can kind of coach her a little bit and then meet with her on the 20th, so she's got a little bit more knowledge of what needs to happen on the 20th, so we can sit down and see.
Well, what I will do is tomorrow, I'm going to email each one of you with the meeting dates and what I have my notes, and then fill in any blanks, get fired back to me, and I'll file compatible together. But we do know for a fact that we need to get Dan and Florence in on the 23rd.
I'll shoot Dan a note.
And then Randy, and then do you know Bernie? Okay.
Who's Bernie? Is he the mountain man?
Yeah.
I don't know who's in charge of that though. I mean, I don't know.
I'll talk to Bernie and find out who.
We don't know who's
actually. I'll talk to Dan because Dan's the one.
Yeah.
He's the one that put him in there, so Dan's going to know who's there.
And who's going to talk to Jade's Jazz?
Dan can talk to
Sheila.
Okay.
And
work.
So I will put together the meeting dates and then we'll get all together in the next 2 days and we'll start working on it.
Yeah.
So after hearing all this, are you guys set in stone on your criteria, or it sounds like you're flexible? Is that
I think the criteria is fairly well set from a
ordinance. Yeah, I mean, as far as what does qualify and what doesn't.
Correct.
Well, state statute is very specific. If we're unclear whether something is, and you came in late, so we discussed that. If we're unclear whether we can really pin something down, then what we'll do as a committee is we'll contact City Attorney Jeremy Green and ask him for a legal opinion based on his interpretation of the statute. We avoid that as much as possible because of the cost to the city for his legal fees. This is our third go around with this, so
we kind of get
a sense of what'll fly and what won't fly, which is helpful. I think, you know, we have a tentative schedule. Again, I'll get that emailed out to each one of you tomorrow, including Lupita.
Well, let's see. Excuse me. I just get to go again what you said, Art, about as far as the agenda for the March 22nd meeting.
The March 23rd meeting.
The
agenda will really be a work session, interview slash work session.
Okay.
With Dan Volko and Gayworth and Florence Nees.
I think we need to budget probably a couple hours on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be the total meeting, just that, because.
We can do it in an hour.
Because Florence cannot make the decision. She has to go to the radio board and do the same stands. I don't know probably the same goes with Ann. But
we might be able to do it in an hour
because she's going to talk to Ann. Yeah. And Scott and Florence are real clear on what is and what isn't included. Really, it's just the media and all that kind of stuff.
Would you do me a favor, Mike? Would you take some time over the next couple of days and just kind of draft what you would consider to be a reasonable approach for that work session with regards to those three groups. And then we can get that to those principals and say, here's what we're going to be hammering out. Have your, you know, get your ducks in a row because we want to try and, you know, these are things we need to work on. And it's important that we couch that presentation as being, we want to help you be more successful than you've been in the past. And we think we have some ideas that will help you rather than beat on you. Right.
All I can think of is, I am from the government, I'm here to help. Sorry.
And oh, by the way, when we're done, the check will be in the mail.
Sorry.
So, did you need anything else? Or,
no, I think that's fine.
Once we finalize, we'll go to another. As soon as we finalize within our committee how we want these next three or four meetings to go, I'll get that to you.
Sure, that's
so
fine.
That you have plenty of.
But I'll get an agenda ready tomorrow from what you said, because I have to send it to Jeremy. He has to look at it before I can get it posted in the paper.
That's fine. Any other comments? Great.
Come join us anytime.
Please do. It's nice to have, you know, you've had some valuable input. That,
it might be nice also to have a copy of the statutes for visitors.
Yeah, and one that isn't all highlighted and jumped up like ours. I have is the ones with the dark streaks through
it. That way you can kind of get a sense for how very specific it is.
I can send you an email copy, a PDF.
Would you also put on that about the 50-mile prerequisite? And the whole thing, Wendy, is all this money comes from the taxes that the motels collect from people that stay here.
And RV places.
And RV and campsites and stuff within the city limits. And it's supposed to be to draw more people down here to fill up those beds to get more taxes. And that's what kind of generates it. So if it's not going to go 50 miles out where people have to come here
and
to stay buy and eat the in the restaurant and help buy groceries and all that kind of stuff, then...
Right. And by Oregon statute, 25% of every dollar of the city, that transient room tax dollar, 25 cents of each dollar the city has the right to keep in their general fund. Period. But the other 75%, they are mandated by state statute to use, that has to be spent to promote tourism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It cannot be held back for any purpose other than that. Mm-hmm. And so our job is, believe it or not, our job is to spend every dime that we can get.
Mm-hmm. And the statute lays it out. I mean, it's
basically designed to keep a perpetual wheel of growth in the tourism industry. The more people you get, the more money, the more marketing, and it's really the tourism economy.
The prime directives, the prime ideas for incorporating the city, because they get to keep that money rather than having that go into
And one of the things that we're working on a whole other level is to try and get back on the good graces of COVA and try to get a piece of that pie because I think we deserve it.
Like Hawaiian Lodge, East Lake,
South Twin,
Green Prairie, all of that transient room tax
goes to Bend,
and we don't get any of it. Where in reality,
it's closer to us than it is.
I mean, we would be the closest
to contact
city.
Contact that Dan person and go up and see him.
Yeah. Well, Dan's going to a governor's conference here, and there are some things he's working on. It's going to be a slow sell, but I think we're going to get it done.
COVID is temporary.
I know.
I didn't know what you knew.
I've known her for several years. I agree with you. I think at some point in time, maybe we just say, hey, let's go out for lunch.
They tried it.
And we just need to keep working on it. Eventually, whatever happened in the past that caused the rift will be
forgotten or
put aside, and because we have something to offer them that they
there was a falling out of some sort.
There's a whole lot of money that's going into Bend. from all those campsites and, and those lodges.
Yeah, Lapine State Park. We don't get that.
They're all our zip code, 97739.
Yeah. So there are some legitimate concerns that need to be addressed, but it's got to be done diplomatically, and we have to show them as a value to come to the table with
the city needs to annex. Is that what you're saying?
No. So at any rate, unless anybody has any more discussion with regards to the tourism, I'd like to thank everybody. We are scheduled to meet again on the 23rd, and the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Salute.
Second?
I second.
Okay, and meeting is over.
Thank you.